in your studio there with you.
Yes, he is.
And
just hang on a second,
yeah,
and I'll bring him.
I'll do that, because we'll just hold off from going to break, and we'll go straight to Brian.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Now, we're going to come on here in a moment with Brian Matthews, who is our fossils man. Now, I don't know if Brian will go along with that particular statement, but he's become our fossil man, and he's our traveling fossil man, and he's going to chat a little bit.
Hello.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Roy.
Telling him that you've become our fossil man.
Well, look, that sounds terrific to me.
and at least our traveling fossil man, and we're going to chat today about some of your latest discoveries, you know, people have this dinosaur fascination, and I understand that in certain parts of Nova Scotia, you've come across some of this. Can we chat about that, maybe?
Yes, we sure can. We'll start with the dinosaurs, then, if you'd like. A place called Parisville in Nova Scotia on the Bay of Fundy, at a location called Watson's Bluff.
Right.
A place where they've discovered some of the oldest dinosaurs in Canada. The name of this dinosaur is a Plateosaurus, Plateosaurus.
Right.
And it's about 15 feet long.
Right.
Stands about 5 feet at the shoulder. In 2000, I was involved with the Fundy Geo Museum, which is a lovely provincial museum in the town of Parisville, in helping to excavate this from the shores.
And are there lots of finds like this? And because we're talking about traveling and tourists, what would a tourist expect to find if he was doing this? And where are some of these locations that these fossils are found in Nova Scotia?
Well,
other than what you've just already mentioned.
Sure. First of all, the dinosaur fossils are very rare in Nova Scotia. It has an awful lot to do with our geology.
Right.
Nova Scotia at one time, about 250 million years ago, just to orient you a little bit, was part of a supercontinent called Pangaea. All the continents were actually together.
Right.
And at that time, Nova Scotia was actually down right on the equator. So we were basically in a tropical zone at that time. We had a lot of forests that would have mirrored the type of tropical forest that you see today down around the equator. And when you start looking at the dinosaurs, they started appearing in Nova Scotia about 300 million years ago, and were mainly concentrated in this one area that I've talked about in Parisboro.
Would the average tourist with a little bit of guidance be able to witness some of this? Or?
Well, not really. Most of the dinosaurs that have been found are in what are called protected sites.
Right.
Those protected sites, you can go and look at them, but you're
right.
not allowed to dig in them.
Right.
You're not allowed to excavate at all. But
you can go in there and photograph and actually see the excavation. Is that correct?
Well, you could. The best place to see it is right at the Fundy Geo Museum, and if you don't actually get to the museum, you can look at their website.
Right.
And I've given that information to you at the end of the show.
Right.
But you can actually see them preparing that dinosaur. They're actually taking the fine sedimentary sand, the red sand that's common in the Bay of Fundy, scraping it off with tools, small micro jacks. They're cleaning off the bones. They've got probably about a third of the whole skeleton that they're working on right now. And it's a fascinating thing to watch. You can actually see they update it every week as to how they're doing the excavation. So that's what a tourist would actually see. If they went to the museum, they would see the dinosaur being prepared. If they went to the shore, if they took a tour, which they can do, they might be fortunate enough to see a dinosaur bone, but they're very difficult for the untrained eye to detect. That's why I always recommend anybody going to any of the fossil locations, go to some of the interpretive centers or the museums first. Find out exactly what it is you might be looking for, where you might be apt to find them. And that's going to be your best experience.
Now, you say that when you originally got involved in this, and this goes back to about 1992, I guess, that someone suggested you take a drive to the cliffs of Joggins in Nova Scotia. And what did you find there?
Well, Joggins, the first thing that I saw, which amazed me, was the large trees that were still in the bank of the shore. You have to understand, Joggins is in some of the highest tidal areas of the world.
Right.
Not just Nova Scotia, but the tide can rise up to 50 feet in that area, or close to that area.
Right.
And what happens is the sediment is pulled constantly away when the tide rises and falls, as it does twice a day. The sediment is pulled away from the bank, pulled away from the fossils that are embedded in the bank, and you actually get an opportunity to see these large tree trunks that are lying there. And some of them would be 10, 12 feet long. They would be approximately 12 to 14 inches in diameter. They're quite stunning to see them laying there. At one time, I could see actually five of them at one time in the cliffs, and they're still there. They're still eroding out today.
Interesting. Now, you also went to Charmouth, I understand.
Well, Charmouth was in England.
Okay, that's right. You did.
Right.
You collected some fossils in Charmouth. That when we chatted about that when we were doing the south of England.
Right.
But getting back to Nova Scotia, I kind of got off track there a little bit. That's where we were headed in the first place here. First of all, there are lots of different gateways, but how would one normally, say, from the States get to Nova Scotia? You fly into where? Into what city?
Fly into Halifax.
Into Halifax.
Nova Scotia.
Right. And then how would you get to some of these areas where you find the fossils, such as Joggins, or what other areas might you
suggest?
They'd
all be within easy driving distance. Joggins and Parisboro would be approximately an hour and three quarters.
Right.
On a drive along a beautiful shore, along the Fundy Shore.
Right.
And out to Parisboro and Joggins. There's another place I'd like to talk to you about, which
sure.
is Blue Beach, which has just become prominent just this summer, because recently they found a fossil there, a pelvis of a fossil. Now, you know, the paleontologist can actually look at a fossil. They can tell what part of the body it comes from by study of anatomy. And they found this fossil that's approximately 350 million years old. It's a reptile, one of the oldest ones from that period in the world.
Hmm.
And it's going to become a place that I think people are going to be interested in seeing. There was a large fossil and paleontology exposition that was held in Halifax this past year, and this particular fossil was described by a prominent paleontologist from the United States, Mr. Anderson.
What's the area called again?
It's called Blue Beach.
Blue Beach.
And if you're driving from Halifax, you're going up the opposite shore now of Nova Scotia.
Right.
And it's going to be about a little over an hour from the Halifax airport.
Right. And would someone say they want to go to Blue Beach, or is there a city that they would say?
Yeah, they would mention Blue Beach, and most people in Nova Scotia would probably know where it is, but it's near Hampsport and Windsor.
Okay. All right. So that would be the city they wanted to head to before they
right.
went to Blue Beach.
You've got to understand Nova Scotia a little bit. Nova Scotia is not a big province.
Right.
You know, if you were to drive from one end to the other, it would only be about 600 miles,
mm-hmm.
maybe 800 some kilometers. The width of Nova Scotia at any particular point from shore to shore is no more than 60 miles. So it's a fairly small province. It's very easy to get to. Halifax is very central for anybody flying in. You can also drive in from the United States, coming up through Maine and then into New Brunswick, down into Nova Scotia. Or you could take one of the ferries that comes over from Bar Harbor or from Portland.
Yeah, that's fairly popular, isn't it?
They really are.
Right.
Yeah. Great way to travel.
And relatively inexpensive, I think, is it not?
Oh, yes. And especially if you're going to bring your car across, you're saving an awful lot of miles by coming directly across from Maine and driving all the way up. A lot of people do it. They drive one way and they take the ferry the other way.
Okay, now getting back to Blue Beach, what would we likely find there? Like just want to go over that again. I wasn't too clear on.
Okay. There's a little interpretive center there.
Right.
First of all, if you stop into that, you're going to find some wonderful examples of the types of fossils you're going to find down on the beach. And what you're mainly going to see, you're going to see some footprints, which are fairly easy to find if once you train your eye to it. These footprints are from reptiles, and that's the sort of animal that was found from the 350 million year ago period. You're also going to find trace fossils. Now, trace fossils are perhaps a burrow of a worm that had crawled through some soft sand. It left its trace or its imprint by going through the sand. It could be a small clam or a small shellfish that had scuttled across the bottom and left a little trail from where it had traveled across the bottom of these fairly muddy clays. And then the muddy clays have been infilled by perhaps just sediments that have caused the imprint to last and to be retained in the fossil record.
Now, how come they're not washed away by the tides, would be my thought.
Well, what ends up happening is fossils generally are formed by having an earthquake or a mudslide, particularly in coastal regions.
Right.
And the mudslide would come down, would cover the track, would cover the imprint, would cover the fossil itself. Once that mudslide lay on the clay for a certain period of time, it would actually solidify, and it would preserve the record there itself.
So it's not going to get washed away. I mean, the tides come up fairly high, don't they?
Well, they do, and actually what you will have, you'll have fossilized ripple marks where the tide comes in and out.
Right.
So you'll actually see in certain places where you can tell that the clay has been sculpted by the tide as it's gone in and out over a period of time.
Yeah, I've seen that in certain parts of the world. You don't think about it unless somebody calls your attention to it in most cases. And what you said about Blue Beach is that you can go to a center there and you can visually see what has been collected, so you more or less know what you're looking for. Is that correct?
That's right. And when you go down on the beach, you know, and sometimes they even give a tour down there, and that's, if you can get someone to give you a tour on the fossil beaches, even better.
Yeah, that would be great. But if they're not organized, you'd kind of just have to make a private arrangement, would you?
That's right.
Well, the other thing is, and I know we touched on this a little bit, again, what does one do with these fossils if you're become a grand collector?
Well, Nova Scotia is quite restrictive, as is most of Canada, in the way that you can collect fossils.
Right.
So let me explain a little bit. We have what are areas that are of significant scientific value that have been designated as protected sites. In those protected sites, you are allowed to walk. You are allowed to pick items up off the shore. And there's going to be a lot of them on any particular day, because every day is a new day on the beach, because the high tides have come in, they've rolled over rocks, turned over rocks that you might not have seen anything on yesterday that are there today and turned over, or pulled something out of the beach or out of the bank. And so you get a real opportunity to see new stuff all the time. But you do have to be careful. You're not allowed to dig anything out of the cliffs in most of these protected spots. You are allowed to pick up whatever you can carry in your two hands. We always recommend that you take them into the center or the museum. Have someone look at them. Lots of people have carried home what appear to be fossils, but have actually turned out to be just very nice rocks. So you may as well get them verified as to what they are. You may as well have somebody that has some knowledge in it identify it for you. And if they're significant, the province would ask you to leave them with them. They would credit you for collecting them, but you're technically not allowed to take them home with you.
Which gives you a good feeling, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because...
What are you going to do? Just, you know, we get so much stuff to dust at home anyway. What are we going to do with a bunch of fossils, I guess? But you know, certain ones, at least, you can bring home. We've got to run, Brian, and that's great stuff, and I always enjoy speaking to you about it, and we hope we'll do it again soon.
Thanks a lot, Roy. I hope you can get to Nova Scotia.
I'm looking...